Since you're listening to WORT right now, you may be aware of this, but this is more than just a radio station. It's a platform for local expression, a hub for artists, and a stage for community voices. Join our programming committee and become a driving force behind what goes on our airwaves.
Whether you're into music, news, culture, or something entirely unique, we want your voice in the mix.
Visit our website at wortfm.org/programming-committee, or you can email me directly with j.davis@wortfm.org, and we can start the conversation.
WORT, where your voice matters.
In Arabic, we say, "Iju layhaddu al-khayl, mad al-far, ijro."
Translation: they came to put a horseshoe on the horse, and the mouse extended his leg.
This one has a double meaning. One being those who stick their noses or insert themselves into matters that are far above their stature. You know, they have nothing to say in the matter, they still insist on getting involved in things that are way above them, not just the pay grade. Mm-hmm. But it also refers to the lowly person, you know, lower echelon of the society, who puts himself in the ranks of the nobility or the upper echelon or the great people.
So is this something you say to somebody when they're kind of getting uppity, maybe trying to
be something,
take control
not
of a situation that's not at their level?
Particularly in the societal layers, the layers of society, which are less pronounced here in the U.S. And, you know, if you have a caste system like some places in the Middle East and a lot of places in the Near East and over there and over here, in some places it's really hard to break out of that layer that you're born into. So if you're a born peasant, it's a lot of work to become part of the the upper echelon, as I mentioned.
See.
So this is in particular for those who pretend to be of the wealthy layer and where they're not. And if somebody, you know, so we're talking about the Nobel Prize, and then somebody says, "Oh yeah, I've done some work that could deserve that."
Oh yeah, I got one of them in my garage.
That's
over
right.
here or, with yeah. my extra Look, screws and stuff.
Or no, you should be waiting. Like you're waiting for one for some work you've
All
done.
Right.
That's when the shoe, the cobbler, the human shoemaker comes in and says, "What? No, that shoe is not for you." This is, you know, the reason why they mention the horse is there is an art, and only horses that are worthy of the replacing of the horseshoe, you know, the metal part.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can imagine a mouse wanting one of them on their foot. And the image, I think, that this conjures up is quite vivid in my mind.
Considering the horseshoe probably weighs several mice.
As much as a mouse, maybe more. Hey, welcome. What's going on here today?
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab-American news, culture, issues, music, art, film, and whatever else we feel like talking about.
Animal shoes. That was Rawan Atallah. Translator extraordinaire. I am Sabi Atiyah. We will be not sticking our noses in any of your business, any of our business, none of our business where we don't belong. We'll stay out of what we don't belong. But did you have a chance? Did our listener have a chance to support WRT in the last 2 weeks of the pledge drive? Except for that issue. I'm going to stick my nose into whether our listeners today had the chance to contribute to WRT, because if you have not, you get one more day. We're extending the pledge drive. You can take advantage of a matching gift, and you can still go online. Don't call the studio. No one is answering the phones here. WRT-FM.org. Find the donate button and learn more about it. On this 17th day of March, nippy, a little nippy. I even saw snow coming into the studio earlier.
Yes.
And the March, what did I say, 17th day of March, 2024, year of the Lord, also known as the seventh day of Ramadan in the year 1445 after Hijra in the Islamic calendar. Ramadan Mubarak to those who are observing the month. Yes, Ramadan started last Monday, March 11th, and goes on through Tuesday the 9th of April or the Wednesday the 10th of April. So sunset today, I said, well, we should do the service announcement on every Sunday we're here. Sunset is at 7:07.
Thank you for that public service.
In case they need to go out and see if the sun is going down. It's pretty hard to see this time of year with all the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, most people have phones. They don't have a...
Right. You can always just Google it. What time is sunset?
Yeah. There's so much information nowadays. It's just,
I know.
It's
kind of shocking.
It used to be hard to find out when is sunset. And I remember being when I was a child, it was growing up in Damascus, we would wait for the sound of a literally a sound cannon. Most neighborhoods had one, and it's not to hurl actual cannonballs, but it was just a sound maker of just boom, and we knew it was time to eat. Al-matba.
So it's been quite an eventful week.
Yes, lots of stuff
since
coming.
Last we spoke.
Yeah,
pretty remarkable.
For those
unexpected,
who pay attention,
there's some unexpected things happening.
Wacky.
I mean, there's a lot of bad still happening in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually stunned when Democratic Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer,
he did it again,
called out Netanyahu.
Yeah.
As an obstacle to peace. This man who is the
top guy.
The highest ranking Jewish American in the U.S. government and normally a staunch supporter of Israel.
Yep.
Yeah.
He got booed.
That's pretty.
Was there some booing? I kept replaying that. Is it booing or cheering? What's going on?
Well, it might be a mixture. But I mean, I did not ever expect to hear something like that from this individual in particular. Of course, you know, in classic style, Benjamin Netanyahu came back and said that his comments were totally inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
He said, quote, "I think what he said is totally inappropriate. It's inappropriate to go to a sister democracy and try to replace the elected leadership there."
Oh,
that's something the Israeli public does on its own. We are not a banana republic.
Yes. Well, the statement said that Israel has also become, or the statement from Schumer said that that Mr. Netanyahu turned Israel into a pariah state opposed by the rest of the world. That's a factoid. U.S. vetoing all of Netanyahu's opposition here at the U.N., but this was, serious. And this is me talking. I'm not an expert, though I listen to the news a lot. But do you sense that Mr. Schumer's move was dictated to him by none other? Because he's the top Democrat. He could speak about for the party, kind of, without getting Mr. Biden in trouble. So maybe it was his way of signaling by being given a signal that the Mr. Biden's administration is kind of not sure about the position anymore. And this way, it doesn't look like Mr. Biden is criticizing the freak over there in the Middle East.
Yeah, I mean,
I just think it would be a softer blow for the president to have the speaker of the minority speaker.
Well, if you have the head of a sovereign state, saying that another sovereign state needs to hold
that's
elections and have a new fearless leader.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, Netanyahu's relationship with the truth is obviously tenuous at best.
His own, he likes to make his own story and live it. And he believes his own lies. I love the guy. I love a guy who is so convinced of his own lies. He's the first one to buy him. But apparently, a January poll found that only 15% of Israelis today, or in January, wanted Mr. Netanyahu to stay in office post this war with Hamas, or on Hamas in the Gaza Strip. And though the majority of them said they wanted the military campaign in Gaza to continue to a successful end. What is meant by successful end? More bloodshed! I'm sorry, that was uncalled for.
Oh, no, I don't think, I think that's what they consider a successful end. The other thing that was really unanticipated,
Another event that caused you to go, huh?
Yeah, so I think last week we were kind of, you know, fighting for market share with, you know, people and their Oscars pre-parties or, you know, like whatever.
Yeah, I said we have at least 1% of our normal listenership, and that was just one person. Now, so we're down to a tenth of a person.
Well,
or a hundredth of a person.
So the surprising thing to me, actually a number of Hollywood celebrities wore red pins in support of Palestine and Gaza at the Oscars last Sunday. Which, I mean, that's pretty incredible. I didn't think I would ever see that happen either. But singer Billie Eilish, her brother Phineas O'Connell were prominent figures displaying these pins. And the pins were produced by or for Artists for Ceasefire, who called on President Biden and Congress to urge an immediate de-escalation and ceasefire. According to their statement, the pin symbolizes collective support for an immediate and permanent ceasefire, the release of all the hostages, and for the urgent delivery of humanitarian aid to civilians in Gaza. And they add, Artists for Ceasefire stands for a future rooted in freedom, justice, dignity, and peace for all people. Compassion must prevail. So other performers and artists wearing the pins, Rami Youssef, actor Mark Ruffalo, director Ava DuVernay, and yeah, so Rami Youssef actually spoke.
He's married to a Palestinian.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, an Egyptian, right? No, I'm sorry, Rami Youssef.
Well, he actually spoke on microphone, said, we call for an immediate and permanent ceasefire in Gaza. We really want long-lasting justice and peace for the people of Palestine. We just want to say, let's stop killing kids. And then there was a Holocaust drama, Zone of Interest. Director Jonathan Glazer, who won Best International Picture last Sunday, made a comparison between the dehumanization of both sides in the Gaza conflict and that which is portrayed in the movie.
Yeah, but the one question that remains in my little mind, knowing the historically looking back, those who oppose Israel in Hollywood commit professional suicide.
Well, okay.
They'll never find a job in this town again.
But seriously, kind of, I mean, if you have Chuck Schumer speaking out.
But he's not an actor.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, this is new territory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have not, there have been certain areas where speaking out on Palestine, as you said, was pretty much certain career death.
Yeah.
Right?
You remember, I think the first incident of it being clearly taking somebody who made statements about the Jews running Hollywood and was called an anti-Semitic. It was Mel Gibson. He was drunk somewhere, and he said,
"Well,
the Jews." He got arrested for doing
drugs. Mel Gibson is a special case.
Okay,
should not take anything that Mel Gibson says. Don't take anything the man says seriously, and he is.
But he was seriously attacked. He was seriously attacked professionally by what he called the Jews that run Hollywood.
Yeah,
so
there's audio of him saying like blatantly anti-Semitic things.
Mm. Kanye West. How about Kanye West?
No, let's not touch him either.
Well, these are the people that I'm thinking of who came out against Israel in a way, saying they oppose their policies, they oppose what they're doing to the Palestinians, and they were accused of being anti-Semites, and they were literally attacked.
Right. What I'm saying is, like, some of them legitimately are. Like, Mel Gibson is mm-hmm. legitimately an anti-Semite, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's a pretty critical distinction. Like, a lot of these celebrities, mm-hmm. right, I believe are speaking out from their conscience. Mel Gibson, not.
Okay.
Right.
Fantastic. Any more news that shocked us this weekend, during the week of Revelations? Did you see Dune yet, part two?
I haven't.
Apparently, the part two was directly inspired by Abu Dhabi desert. I've been there. Not to the movie, but to the desert itself, according to the director, Villeneuve.
Mm-hmm.
Denis Villeneuve said, this is, you know, that's a few quotes from him, that he, while traveling and living, influenced the way we shot the movie tremendously. According to, so the main reason they came to there was to be inspired directly by the desert and the desert life. Quote, "You cannot create those shots that we've made on a soundstage in a back lot. I designed all of the shots according to the landscape." That's pretty, I think, being inspired by a place where you take the entire crew to live through hell during the day. And then posh resorts in the evening, hotels. But anyway, yes, so I just thought I'd report on this because it made the news. It actually made the news, the Arab news, that he was influenced by the landscape of Dubai. I know there was another That's movie cool. that was shot in the Middle East also, Ishtar. It was a big flop.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a good influence on the movie director or the movie itself in general.
We do have quite the array of community calendar items. Coming up very, very short term. Actually, I think the first of these in chronological order, yes, next Monday, March 25th, the movie Israelism is going to be screened at Madison Central Library, room 301. It's a movie screening and discussion that starts at 6 p.m., and that is at the Central Branch of Madison Public Library. So the movie, the description of the movie is as follows. When two young American Jews raised to unconditionally love Israel witness the brutal way Israel treats Palestinians, their lives take sharp left turns. They join a movement of young American Jews battling the old guard to redefine Judaism's relationship with Israel, revealing a deepening generational divide over modern Jewish identity.
Mm.
So, directed by two first-time Jewish filmmakers who share a similar story to the film's protagonists, Israelism, it explores how Jewish attitudes towards Israel are changing dramatically and has, as you might expect, massive mm-hmm. consequences for mm-hmm. the region and for Judaism itself. So mm-hmm. that is next Monday, Madison Central Library, room 301, 6 p.m. Next up, this is an online event. It's entitled The Cross, A View from Gaza. This is happening on Tuesday, March 26th. This is at 11 a.m. Central Time. And this is with panelist Rana Albatraoui, the director of the Bright Stars of Bethlehem satellite program, and Reverend Dr. Mitri Raheb, who is the founder and president of Bright Stars of Bethlehem and also Dar al-Kalima University in Bethlehem. So next up on the community calendar, we have a couple of fundraising events coming up. May 1st, which is a Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., May Day Pizza and Music Benefit for Humanitarian Aid to Gaza. That is going to be held at the Giant Jones Brewing Company at 913 East Main Street. So that's, evening of music, and all of the proceeds will be going to Middle East Children's Alliance. And after that, another slightly different music benefit. So the one that's happening at Giant Jones is going to be, I would say you won't need earplugs for that show. But coming up on May 22nd, which is a Wednesday, it's at 7 p.m. at the Burr Oak, It's another fundraiser. This one is probably going to be an Earplugs event. This is featuring The Takeaways, Moon Boot, and 20 Minute Mission. Should be, I think, an excellent time. I enjoy all of their music quite a bit. So
fabulous. Yeah. Mark your calendar, and if you missed any of the dates and times, go to Facebook, Salamat yes. Radio, and find more about that.
So sort of tangentially related, Palestine Partners and Madison Rafah Sister City Project are going to be staging another auction, and they are looking for local artists and artisans to donate work. You can look up Palestine Partners on Facebook, or you can go to the Madison Rafah Sister City Project website, and there is information available there, and we will repost that on the Salamat Facebook page as well. So the auction is slated to begin in June. So if you want to donate artwork and you need some time to actually make something, you do have a little bit of leeway.
Fantastic. Making an extension to leeway, a little bit of a headway. And Arab American is making national news last February the 25th. Dearborn native Fairuz Saad was appointed to serve as the Assistant Secretary, Office of Partnership and Engagement at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. In this role, she'll serve as the primary advisor for the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas on external engagement and the impact of the department's policies, regulations, processes, and actions on state, local, tribal, territorial officials, non-governmental organizations, and private sector, and the academic community. Wow, that's a lot of work. Just listing it, I'm tired now. But this is a critical office for the Arab American community, as the office serves as primary point of contact between the department and the community on key issues of concern. It helps to mention that Mr. Biden had approached the Arab American community in Michigan to see why most of them selected the uncommitted button on their election, most recent election. And I think that this is in a way to warm up or create some warmth between the chilled relationship due to Mr. Biden's stance in the Middle East and his unconditional support and funding for the genocide against the Palestinians.
There's one additional calendar item which actually ties into an anniversary this week. Yesterday was the 21st anniversary of the death of peace activist Rachel Corrie. March 16th, 2003, 2 years before Israel's redeployment out of Gaza, Corrie was acting as a human shield in an effort to stop a bulldozer operated by the occupation, which was demolishing a home in the Rafah refugee camp in the south of the Strip. The occupation, they were using a 60-ton D9 bulldozer built by Caterpillar. Yep. Which continued moving toward Corrie as she stood her ground, and they ran her over. And 20 minutes later, she was pronounced dead. So this is one of the reasons that Caterpillar has been and remains on the boycott list, but also there has been for quite a few years now and a nearly annual, I think we interrupted it during mm-hmm. the pandemic, but annual commemoration. So this year's is Sunday, April 14th at Christ Presbyterian Church, starting at 1:30 p.m. This also will be, donation jars will be out for Middle East Children's Alliance. This is also somewhat of an educational event. There will be some music. There will be very light refreshments. There is normally a recorded statement by Rachel Corrie's parents. The statement from the organizers: we believe that Rachel's wish now would be that we act to end the genocide in Palestine. The event will include readings of Rachel's letters home, the aforementioned message from the parents. And time to write and call Congress and the White House to demand an immediate and permanent ceasefire and an end to U.S. funding of the Israeli military. Music will be provided by Ensemble Shamali. They've played at a number of Madison Raha events in the past. They're a delight to listen to. And as I mentioned, it is also a fundraiser. We're going to be doing a lot of fundraising for Middle East Children's Alliance. So.
Speaking of Caterpillar and boycott, the boycott movement is working in some places, according to a couple of reports here from the Dearborn area in eastern Michigan. Starbucks Cafe in that area are witnessing an unprecedented decline in customers' demand for the chain's most famous products, just as they are elsewhere in the U.S. and around the world. The decline comes in conjunction with continuing campaigns on social media platforms to boycott the company and any other that is accused of supporting Israel as it continues its brutal war against the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip for the sixth consecutive month. Starbucks, which owns more than 35,000 branches in 86 countries worldwide, including more than 9,000 branches in the U.S. here in the Americas, was severely affected by spontaneous and organized boycott campaigns and protests against the famous brand's vocal support of the Israeli occupation army. The recent boycott resulted in laying more than 2,000 employees in the company cafes in the Middle East region alone. I personally really rarely ever drink coffee in coffee shops because it's overpriced. Just water and coffee. And if you know how to turn a stove on, you can make coffee at home. That's my economic reason. But I've never Starbucks represented to me the big guy coming into a small town and running the little coffee shops out of business.
Well before they
became known for supporting the genocide campaign. So I personally, like I said, didn't frequent the shop, the place. And those who know better will continue boycotting them. And those who made them regulars will... regular place to get their coffee. According to Hazem, a Palestinian customer named Hazem told the Arab American News while he was interviewed, he says, "I'm finally liberated from the burden of this daily walk to get my large cup of Starbucks coffee that I've been buying for two decades." If you do the math, daily tall glass, a cup of coffee.
Oh, I know.
I think he spent a fortune on that. You could have bought three expensive espresso machines and put them in your little apartment.
Yep, absolutely.
Any other news? How are we doing on time?
We are actually almost out of time.
No way.
Yep.
It happens.
It is that time. It's time for the Pachyderm Parade. But I'm going to leave you with
a musical interlude today.
We can leave that as the outro. I'm going to leave you with a little data point. This is courtesy of Palestine Partners. So we've been talking about, you know, curtailing the flow of arms to Israel and you know, the fact that the U.S. pays for that. And you might wonder, what does that actually mean? So projected 2024 Wisconsin contribution to the Israeli military is about $20 million, which could have bought free or low-cost health care for over 7,000 children, canceled student debt for over 500 students, or funded public housing for over 2,300 households for a year.
And padded our slush fund,
yes.
You and I doing the show.
Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. You have been listening to Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab American news, culture, issues, and whatever else we feel like talking about. We will leave you with a little bit of music. Stay tuned for the Pachyderm Parade coming up next here on WORT 89.9 FM. In the meantime, we bid you farewell by saying, as always, in Arabic,
Ramadan Kareem, wassalamu alaikum. I padded another one for the Ramadan because we're... you know, celebrating Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum. Translation?
Peace be upon you.
عشت وشفت الموت في اخواتنا وربي اداني الحرية وانا كنت مسحول في حشيش ومادة والسجدة ربي منسية كل يوم في حفلة مصلحة جامدة ونقول اهي ماشية وردية عمري لحظة دنيا مؤذية ساعات تفوت ما كانتش ليه انا كنت الاخ انا عمري ما هنسى لما كان نفسي فيلا وعربية فاكرني لاسك لما ربي اداني من الفرصة مية وانا فاكرني مقطع وشاب قارح واقول انا بس كل يوم في خناقة وعايشها بأزي سجارة حلوة خلتني بهزي والبيت جامدة وعامل رومانسي ولما تيجي عيوني بامبي ولو ما جاتش بشوفني فقري لو جيبي افضى بانكوت وباري في فلوس شمال استغفر وعدي والضحكة راحت من غير معزي والصحة رايحة ما انا خنت نفسي ما انا خنت نفسي وكأني منسي والدنيا ماشية كلها عكسي بس دلوقت انا اخدت درسي شفت ولاد من سني بتحمي بلاد كان برضه عندك
We're a Cracker Jack Brigade on a pachyderm parade but we'd rather stroll to a water hole For a furlough in the shade
Hello and welcome to
Pachyderm Parade
This is your host Peter and
Ezra
And Ezra And thank you for listening today
Wait
Got
a
some
second.
Songs for you but
There's not two Ezras
Wait, there aren't two Ezras in the room?
No.
One just walked out?
There's never one in the room. There's never two in the room.
If you're an Ezra out there and would like to be on the show, please contact us.